While you're standing, and if you're not standing, if you're able, would you stand with us? To the Old Testament book of Genesis, the second chapter of the Old Testament. We're going to be reading out of the NIV translation, so our scripture will be found on page 48 of your pew Bible in the back of your pew. If you would take that, turn to chapter 14, the 14th chapter that says, and we're only going to read 5 verses, verses 10 through 14. Amen. Exodus 14, verses 10 through 14. Have you found it? Amen. Have you found it? I stood here a few pages. Amen. Amen. In case you didn't have your cell phone bill. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You don't know the Wi-Fi password. Amen. Behind you is a pew Bible. Amen. Please, don't stop praying for each other. Amen. Please don't stop praying for me. Amen. Exodus 14, verse 10 through 14. Out of the NIV translation, can we all begin starting with verse 10? As Pharaoh approached the Israelites, looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the death to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. What? Verse 13, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord who brings you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Glory to God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Father, we thank you and praise you for your presence. You're with us each and every day from the beginning of time. When you say it's good that you made us in your image and your likeness, you've been with us. Even when we've transgressed your law, not against your will, you didn't put us away. But you saw fit. That as long as we repented of our sins, you saw fit to bring us back to you. And for that, we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for letting us know that there is now no condemnation for those who are already in Christ Jesus. Lord, our aim and our goal is to try to please you each and every day. And I know that we fail often. Amen. But I thank you, Lord God, for not throwing us out like the trash. Lord, work on us that we may be like you. Lord, I pray now as we go forth into your word that you would bring clarity of thought. Now that you would understand with this tongue. Now that you would break open the fallow ground of our hearts and the soil may be cultivated, that the right seed may be planted, that you may allow it to come forward. I pray now, God, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, for you and you alone, Lord, you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. I pray this prayer in the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. 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 Would you help me today? Would you help me? Would you help me preach this thing? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, 2018 was interesting. But
don't worry.
Be happy.
You
can face your future
without fear.
Facing your future without fear. You know, one thing is certain in life, and that is that everything will change. Nothing and nobody stays the same. After having said that, we all have to admit that as creatures of habit, that we like for things and for people to stay the same. And I often when I counsel couples who have expressed a desire to get married, I tell the gentleman, I says, don't try to keep her the same. The men get married hoping you stay the same. And I tell the lady, I'm trying to change her. Because women get married hoping they don't change you. Oh, yeah, I know, I'm right. But we like men for things to stay the same. We like the regularity of the routine and the comfort of the customary. But one thing is certain in life, everything will change. Change brings the unknown, the untried, the untested. Change brings about the unfamiliar. And we have a tendency to immediately tag it as harmful and not helpful. We like things and we like people to stay the same. But the truth about life and the truth about experience is that life moves on, whether we like it or not. Can I get an amen right there? That means that if we're going to face the future without fear, if we're going to continue to be resilient, then we've got to train ourselves how to transition. And if you believe that, would you tell someone near you that I believe 2019 is going to be a time of transition. Amen. I believe 2019 is going to be a time of transition. Now what does that mean, preacher? It means that you need to learn from the past, but not live in the past. Amen, because yesterday is already in the tomb. Tomorrow is still in the womb. And there's still a possibility of miscarriage. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. Don't you know that's why we call it the present? And that's the teaching of our text on today, that the people of Israel moving through a time of transition, as they move, things had changed, presumably for the best. Because after 400 years of slavery, God had set them free. For 400 years, they had to sort out living in mud huts with rags on their backs and with nothing to look forward to except another day in the mud pits, with the fleeting hope that God would hopefully remember his promise. And just when it seemed as if nothing would change, God kept his promise. And a baby was born to Amram and Jochebed, a baby who was saved from genocide and protected from homicide, who would later become the great emancipator of his people. Things changed, and the people were set free. Now somebody here can identify with this story. Before I even share the rest of it, because you know what it is like to wait in frustration and then have God to step in unannounced and unexpected, only to keep his promise. I know somebody here can say amen. I don't know who it is, but somebody here is a witness that just when you had almost given up and were ready to throw in the towel and you were sure that defeat was in your destiny, God kept his promise and brought you out. Do I have a witness here on it? made it. I shouldn't have made it through. I shouldn't have made it out. I shouldn't have made it over. And I'm not really sure how I took it, but as long as I took it. But my testimony today is that God is faithful. God will come through. And God will keep his promise. He may not come when you want, but I declare he's always. And for the people of Israel, God kept his promise. And through a series of 10 progressive plagues, God broke the back of Egypt and shattered the grip of Pharaoh and delivered the people of Israel. With the oppression of slavery behind them and the wilderness ahead of them, they would now face the stage of their development. Now, I'm preaching to the honest folk here right now. You know, the folk will admit that they're not quite certain where you are. And even less sure about where you're headed. So I'm talking about those folk who are ashamed to admit that sometimes, I said sometimes, nothing makes you want to go back more than trying to figure out what's ahead of you. Man, I'm just talking to the honest folk today. You know, these Israelites are restless over their future and began to reminisce about their past. Yes. Their future was cloudy, but their past was clear. And even though they were dehumanized in the past, at least they knew where their next meal was coming from. They said in Exodus 16:3, there we sat around pots filled with meat and we ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. Yeah. And don't you know that everybody wants to be delivered? Yeah. But not everybody wants to develop the discipline that deliverance demands. Everybody wants to be free, but not everybody wants to embrace the responsibility that freedom entails. Yeah. Because every blessing has a unique burden. Every elevation involves a new obligation. Every opportunity brings with it a brand new obstacle. And with them being restless over their future, they began to reminisce about their past. I wonder if there's anybody near you, not you, but somebody near you, who's willing to admit that at some point in your journey, you looked around at where you are and you longed for where you used to be. Israel forgot that they had been in slavery. They forgot the pain of oppression. And the only thing they remembered was the free food. And what's tragic is that we forget some of the stuff that we went through and some of the stuff that we came out of and the fact that there's some stuff that you don't ever want to see again. Because somebody here can still remember the hurt of the past. Yes. And while you may not look back, the truth is you ain't trying to go back. Amen. But there are some parts of the good old days that I don't ever want to see again. I don't want to make America great again. I don't want to forget the past. I just don't want to go back. I don't want to forget the past because you all have heard it. Those who forget history are inclined to repeat it. That's some stuff that you all never forget because you will never know where you're going if you don't first understand where you've been. Amen. Do I have an issue with this issue? The people of Israel focused on what had been, and they completely missed the miracle of what was unfolding around them. The Bible says that every day, fresh manna fell from an open sky. They were getting bread that they didn't have to work for. And rather than rejoice over it, they complained about it. Rather than shout about it, they argued about it. Numbers 11:5 says, they said, we remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. We also remember the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and garlic, but now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. Become so accustomed to the goodness of God that we begin to complain that the blessing has become nothing special to us. When was the last time that God really surprised you? When was the last time that you walked into worship and nothing really stood out, but you were blessed with the fresh knowledge that God was in his holy temple? That's what happened to the Israelites. And them not appreciating what God was doing is the same thing that can happen to us. And when that happens, we begin to look backwards and not forward, and we live out of memory rather than stepping into our destiny. The writer was correct when he said, you can't have a better tomorrow if you still stuck in yesterday. So let me encourage you this morning to never lose sight of how richly God has blessed you. Never lose sight of how highly you have been favored by God. God didn't just bring you a mighty long way. He brought you all the way. Verse 10 says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They said, Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? You all, this is not popular now. But do you all remember back in the day there was a movie called Back to the Future? Yes. Where Marty McFly had accidentally traveled back in time and tried to repair. Yeah, he was going to marry his mom. So he had to go back and repair his history before history would actually happen. And in the third installment of that trilogy, Back to the Future Part 3, there was a scene. A conversation between the eccentric scientist Doc, and that he was one of the main characters, And Jennifer, she was the girlfriend of Martin McFly, and Jennifer says, I brought this notebook, Doc, from the future, and now the note is erased. And Doc replied, yeah, it sure is. But that didn't satisfy Jennifer, because she then said, well, what does that mean that it's erased? And Doc said, it don't mean nothing, because your future hadn't been written yet. And then this stood out for me, and this has been years. She said, your future is whatever you make it. So make it a good life. I'm just here today to tell you, your future is whatever you make it. So why don't you make it a good one? Your future, the future is yours by design. Or it's yours by default.
Yeah, yeah.
And in order to do that, you've got to confront your fear.
Yeah.
The children of Israel had just exited Egypt and had escaped the oppression of the Egyptians, and they were now standing at the Red Sea with the mountains on both sides of them and the waters before them. There were no life rafts. There were no cruise ships. And behind them, hot on their trail, was the Egyptian army. And as they looked toward their future, they perceived that there was no way of escape. And it terrified them, and their fear affected them in a number of ways. The first way that it affected them was it made them sarcastic. Look what they said. They said, did we come out here because there wasn't enough graves in Egypt? You do know we got graves in Egypt, don't you? That's not how they say it. He made them sarcastic. And you know, a person who is sarcastic all the time generally are hiding their fear. And they got sarcastic with Moses and said, now we got graves in Egypt. Why you bring us all the way out here? But not only did their fear make them sarcastic, but it also made them selfish. The fear caused them to blame others for their problems. Have you ever met anybody who always blames somebody else? I'm not talking about the president. I'm not talking about the president. But you know, they blaming everybody. But no matter what happens to them, it's always somebody else's fault. It was my husband. It was my wife. It was my kids. It was my boss. It was the crazy coworkers. It was my doctor. It was my pastor. It was my deacon. It was always somebody. Oh, pastors and deacons, come on, y'all should have said amen. It was always somebody else. This is what verse 11 in the New Living Translation. Moses, why did you bring us out here in the wilderness? It's all your fault, Moses. Now, they didn't have to ask Moses permission when Pharaoh let them go. Go back and read it. They didn't ask Moses, Moses, can we leave? They took off and didn't look back. He said, Moses, it's your father. He told you to leave us alone. As you can see, Moses, this ain't working. So they were selfish. They were sarcastic. But then their fear made them stubborn. And that's what fear will do. They said in verse 12, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. In other words, we would rather stay in an abusive relationship. And fear is what makes you inflexible. It causes you to say stuff like, we can't, but we ain't never done nothing like that before. But we won't. Well, why don't you? I don't know, just because we ain't gonna do it. But makes you inflexible. Fear made them sarcastic. It made them selfish. It made them stubborn. But then also fear made them short-sighted. It said in verse 12, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. And I don't know about you, but as I go into the new year, I have prayers for the year. And my prayer for God in this year is that He would deliver me from short-sighted folk. Lord, deliver me from them. And you need to get this, because the function of fear is to pull you back into a dead past and never push you into a living future. How about some folk who can't see the forest or the trees? Amen. Because for 400 years they had been in bondage, and for 400 years they had been brutalized and oppressed, and they forgot all of that. Yeah. Somebody listening to me right now needs to know that even though you may have forgotten that you are no longer living in your miracle, you can still praise God that you ain't no longer in your mess. You may not be living in your miracle, but praise Him that you ain't in your mess. You may be in a place of uncertainty, but you can still praise God that you are no longer in a place of misery. God said, not only am I not going to bring you out, I'm going to bring you into. Yes. Into what? Yes. A land that flows with milk and honey. Yes. But all they could see were their obstacles. And I want somebody here today to know that the next time that you face an obstacle, don't give in. Seems like a cliche, but it is true. Weeping may endure for a night, and I don't know how long your nights have lasted, but the last time I checked, the night don't last always. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The text showed them and teaches us that we can face the future without fear, first by confronting our fear, but then by claiming our future. Amen. I don't know, but perhaps somebody walked up in here today not ready for 2000. Let me tell you what God told the Israelites. The first thing He told them was, let go of your fears. Verse 13, Moses answered people, don't be afraid. NIV says, stand firm. With the King James, or the New King James, says, stand still. Stand still. Now sometimes, when you don't know what to do, the best thing you can do is just don't be done. Let's get something down in your spirit. Just read the Word of God. Just fast. Just pray. Just worship. Come to church. Don't make a move. Don't come out saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But just stay right there and study yourself. Don't make a move. Don't join 18 ministries. Don't overcommit to something you know you're not going to be able to keep. Don't make a move when you're not sure. Yes. Psalm, don't believe me. Psalm 46:10 says, be still. Yes. and know that I am God. So let go of the fear of the Egyptians behind you. Let go of the fear of the mountains that are beside you. And let go of the fear of the Red Sea that is in front of you, because God did not bring you into 2019. God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. God did not carry you to your Red Sea to destroy you. He brought you there so that he may develop you. And just when they were about to go under, just when they were about to give in and go back, God moved. And whenever God moves, he does it, number one, for his glory, and he does it, number two, for our growth. That whenever you go through, God is trying to grow through. He's trying to get you to grow through. We're trying to go through, but he's trying to get us to grow through. So tell your neighbor, grow through, neighbor. I don't need a witness. I am a witness. That's my testimony. Have you ever cried out to God? God, if you don't help me with this. God, if you don't get me out of this.
The songwriter says it back.
find myself getting sucked up in all of this drama that's taking place in Washington, and all this drama taking place in Springfield, and each one of our communities. And you know, if you're in the market, you're afraid about what's going to happen with the market. And if you on SNAP, you're afraid what's going to happen come February 1st. And you know, we just afraid. We even afraid we're going to get our income tax return. And we're entering into this new year with fear, wondering what's going to happen. I'm worried.